Do we realize that we're helpless without Jesus? Do we realize that? That song we just sang, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood. That means our goodness can't wash away our sins. Our stuff can't wash away our sins. Our friends can't wash away our sins. This church can't wash away your sins. I can't wash away your sins. A good mom and dad can't wash away your sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We, without the blood of Jesus, we stand helpless before a holy God. But with the blood of Jesus, it says in God's word that we can boldly approach the throne of God. We could go home now, but I'm not letting you. Somebody says that I've got to earn my living, so, and you guys have to endure it. So it's the way the cookie crumbles. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 10. Yeah, I know you're having visions of, what's that dude's name? Yeah. Bruce Almighty. That's the way the cookie crumbles. Mark chapter 10. Beginning in verse 46. Now, I want to point out this passage. This is the last miracle that Jesus performs, or last miracle of healing, he's on his way to Jerusalem to spend his final week on this earth. And the crowds are bustling around him. We pick it up in verse 46 of Mark chapter 10. Then they came, this is speaking of Jesus and his disciples. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we know that you are in our midst. We know that you have made your dwelling place in us, but we ask you now to magnify yourself, multiply yourself, to speak with power and authority and transform us in the name of Jesus. Amen. There is a painting that I want to show you guys. It's by, and there's a man named, artist named Kenneth Wyatt. Does anybody know Kenneth Wyatt? Does anybody know of Kenneth Wyatt? Man, this guy's got a story, I'm telling you. He was a pastor, a Methodist pastor for years, and retired late in life. He became an artist. He's a sculptor and an artist and an author and all sorts of things. He lives in Tulia, Texas. Quite a character, Kenneth Wyatt. Cheryl and I and the girls, he actually has his home is also his gallery, and we walked, you know, you can go to his gallery and look around, and it's his home, and we walked to the front door, and it's a house. I mean, you know, a little sign on the front door in Tulia, Texas says, "Come on in," and it's his house. And we didn't know this guy from anybody. We walked up to the front door and we saw that sign, we're wanting to knock, and it says, "Come on in." And we open the door and we're like, "Hello, anybody here?" And we walked into his living room. And he comes out, and I think he's got on shorts and he's eating a sandwich. Hey, folks, what y'all doing? Come on in. That's Kenneth White. And he takes us in just an amazing gallery that he's built. He has designed his home and really an amazing man. He painted this picture. Go ahead, Lee, and show us that picture. Many of you may have seen this picture and not known what it was, but this is called Offer Them Christ. And the man, the gray-headed man standing at the front of the boat is John Wesley, an elderly John Wesley, towards the end of his life. And he is commissioning and bidding farewell to Thomas Coke, which Thomas Coke was the first bishop of the Methodist Church. He's on his way to America to establish the Methodist Church in America. Now, many of you know a lot about John Wesley, and some of you don't, but one of the things you should know is earlier in his life, John Wesley had made a trip to America before he was filled with the Spirit, by the way, and failed miserably in his ministry. Went back to England in shame. Long story, but basically John Wesley was strangely warmed by the Holy Spirit. You've heard that if you've been in the Methodist Church very long. He felt his heart strangely warmed. It was the filling of the Holy Spirit, and suddenly his ministry exploded because he was working in the power of the Spirit at that point. At this point, the Revolutionary War in America has ended, and the Church of England that had had a presence in America, obviously the Church of England, we were fighting the English at that time. No offense, Peggy, but because we love you now, we love you. But there was this battle going on between the colonists and the British, and the revolution was over. And so the Church of England that had this presence in the Americas left. So all of these people that they had led to the Lord, they couldn't, and the people that needed to be led to the Lord were pastorless. They couldn't receive communion. They couldn't be led to the Lord. They couldn't be baptized. All of these sacraments were not happening. So John Wesley was sending Thomas Cook to establish this new church in the Americas, and this was in 1784. And he had the reason for the title of the painting, the message that John Wesley had at the end of that boat. And this is Kenneth White, by the way, researched that moment. He researched the harbor and the people that were there and the exact events of that day, and he captured it supposedly very historically accurate. John Wesley is telling Thomas Coke, offer them Christ. He could have told them all sorts of things. He could have said, well, let me tell you where I messed up. He could have said, well, you know, first thing you need to do is you need to do a neighborhood feasibility study. You need to see, you know, how many people you've got that are unchurched in your neighborhood, and you need to figure out what sort of outreach. Do they have a lot of children, and do we need new playground equipment? And do you know, he could have told him all sorts of administrative type things or advice to Thomas Coke. But instead, he had three simple words: offer them Christ. If we haven't figured it out by now, church, Christ is the only chance we have. He's the only hope that we have. He's the only thing that we have worth sharing with anyone else. And we can have a beautiful church. We can be very loving. We can build new playground structures, and we can have all sorts of, you know, wonderful activities and fellowship and worship and all of those things. If we don't offer Christ, we have failed. We have failed. You know, this sermon today, I've entitled, People Are Precious. People are precious. Why do we know that people are precious? Because they were precious to Jesus. You know, the resurrected Christ, you've heard me talk about this passage before, and we were actually on the shore where this supposedly happened in Israel last year. We were there where they've actually built a little chapel where Christ supposedly was preparing breakfast for the disciples after he was resurrected, and he waves them in, and he's cooking up the fish over the open fire, and he has this conversation with Peter, and he says to him three times, "Do you love me?" And each time that Peter answered affirmatively, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know everything. You know that I love you," Jesus responded, "Feed my sheep." He didn't say, now don't get me wrong, okay, hear this. He didn't say, "Go to church." Even though, I want to tell you, the part of the feeding of the sheep and loving him involves going to church. But that's not what he said. He didn't say, "Go to church." He didn't say, "Obey the command and obey the law." He didn't say any of those. He said, "Feed my sheep. Do you love me?" And that word, as I preached on this a few months ago, that passage, and it struck me, he didn't say, "Do you love my sheep?" Hello? Is this on? He didn't say, "Do you love my sheep? Feed my sheep." Did he? He said, "Do you love me?" Wiley Methodist Church, do you love him? I mean, I'm asking for a response on that one. Do you love him?
Amen.
Feed his sheep. Because you see, people are precious to Jesus, therefore, people should be precious to us. Jesus teaches us a lesson in this scripture out of Mark 10 that we're looking at today. I want to look at the lessons he's teaching us. First thing Jesus teaches us, to see every person as precious. He didn't say see every precious person as precious. You got any unprecious people in your life? You got any unlovable people that you stumble across from time to time? Jesus teaches us they're precious. You know, normally I try to look for this. I don't always do it very well, but I try to look for this. Normally when people, the most cantankerous people, the most unlovable people are the people that need loving the most because they've been hurt. You know any cantankerous, unlovable people? I guarantee you they've been hurt. They've been hurt by someone, and they need to feel the love of Christ. Jesus, in the busyness of what was going on, he had already told his disciples, and he had been preparing them and saying, "The Son of Man is going into Jerusalem. I will suffer. I will die on behalf of you." He's got all these people. He's been healing people, and he's still been in his. He's on his way to that triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and he's in the midst of that. And the crowds are pressing in to him. Everybody's wanting his attention, and he comes across this Bartimaeus, a blind, helpless beggar, calling out to Jesus, "Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me." And you know, as I was looking at this, preparing for this sermon, I could see Bartimaeus with a cardboard sign that said, "We'll work for food." Can you see him? He's on the side of the road. The crowds are bustling. It would have been so easy, and I could see myself in that situation hearing that voice and kind of going, "La, la, la, I've got to keep going here. I don't want to get caught up. I got too much. I'm fixing to go into Jerusalem. You know, la, 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 la." Can you see yourself doing that? But Jesus stopped. The crowd was embarrassed. Don't you know who this is? This is the Messiah. He's the big guy. You're embarrassing us. Shh. Be quiet. That's what they were doing to Bartimaeus. They saw him as a nuisance. They saw him as irrelevant. And they saw him as expendable. If we know the beliefs of the time, they believed that his blindness was caused by his or his parents' sin. Shh. Shh. Be quiet. And Jesus stopped because the crowd was wrong. He wasn't a nuisance. He wasn't expendable. Crowds are often wrong, by the way. Jesus didn't let any of that distract him. He stopped and he asked them to call him, bring him to me. He saw Bartimaeus as precious. This blind, filthy beggar was precious to our Savior. How do we see people like Bartimaeus? Cheryl and I, and we don't, I'm not trying to brag about this because we don't always do it, but since I've been connected more with Mark Hewitt and Love and Care Ministry and done a little bit of work with him with the homeless, I see those people with the signs differently. And Cheryl and I passed one yesterday. We were going to Sam's and we passed one and we handed the guy a few bucks and I said, how's it going? And he just had this cold, and a lot of times they'll say, God bless you, and they're just up and, you know, upbeat and so forth. But this guy, he looked broken. And he just said, it's tough, brother. It's tough. And I said, I know it is. I said, hang in there. God loves you. And I drove on. How do we see the disenfranchised? Do we see them as precious? Each having their story? Second thing Jesus teaches us, he teaches us in the midst of it all to ask the question, what can I do for you? Jesus, as I said, was facing a great trial very soon. And in the midst of that burden, in the midst of that soon to be suffering, what he had to look forward to, he knew it was coming because he'd already been telling his disciples about it. In the midst of that, he stops and he says, bring him here. What would you have me do for you? Was his question. Jesus didn't let the burden of what he faced dissuade him from reaching out and seeing this man as precious. He heard the cry of a desperate and needy man, and he stopped. Church, we must train our ear and our eye to see the suffering people among us. They're all around us. There's some right here in the sanctuary today that are hurting. That are hurting. We must train our eyes and our ears to hear the needs of those around us. We should, as Christians, we should always be asking the same question Jesus asked, what can I do for you? We must ask that of our family. We must ask that of our church. There's no premeditation here because I hadn't even planned on saying this, but Have any of you come to me or just other leadership in the church and say, what can I do to serve Christ in this place? If you haven't, I challenge you to pray about that. We should be asking that question to our greater community. There's hurting people all around us that need to know they are precious. The third thing Jesus teaches us is to respond to his love. In verse 52, this passage in Mark today, Jesus said after he summons Bartimaeus to him and he says, what would you have me do for you? What can I do for you? And he says, I want to see. It's a simple request. I want to see. Now, think about it. He could, because the pattern that he had, what he could have said was, you got 50 bucks? Because that's what he was there to do, was to beg. He had a basket. as people walked by, he begged for money just to make it another day. That man we gave some money to yesterday or Saturday, he was just trying to make it another day. But Bartimaeus said, "I want to see." And Jesus' response was, "Go, your faith has healed you." And there's that word again. I preached a whole series on that word in the fall, go. You see, our faith is not about receiving. It's not about just receiving and going on our way in a selfish sort of way. No, Jesus said, go, your faith has healed you. And the man began to follow Jesus. Bartimaeus began to follow Jesus. I'll be willing to bet he was there when Jesus faced his execution. Scripture doesn't tell us that, but I'll be willing to bet he saw it through to the end because Jesus had changed his life. Jesus tells us throughout Scripture, go and tell people what I've done for you. Go and make disciples. Go and show yourself to the priests. Go and show yourself to your family. Go and tell my brothers that I have been resurrected, just as I said that I would. Go into all the world and preach the good news. There's this response required. When Jesus comes and he touches us, he's calling on us to respond. God may be calling you, church, to realize how precious complete strangers are. But he may also be calling you to realize how precious those closest to you are. Approximately 19 or so years ago, y'all have heard part of this story before, but I was on a walk to Emmaus in 91, so right at 20 years. And I can remember Cheryl and I, at that point, we'd been married approximately 10 years, and we married very young. We were, well, I'll speak for myself. I think she would say the same thing. We were idiots, okay? Had no clue how to be. I haven't grown out of it. She has. She's no longer an idiot, but I still am. But we married very young. We had no idea how to be husband and wife. And so for 10 years, it just wasn't all that great, to be honest with you. And I remember because neither one of us understood how to be what we needed to be for one another, I remember I didn't have a clue how to be anything for anybody, myself especially. But I remember Cheryl used to say to me, this word, it's seared in my mind. She used to say to me, "Jeff, I need you to treasure me. I need you to treasure me." And what that's saying is, "Jeff, I need to be precious to you." And I remember when she was saying that, I promise I was trying to hear you, Cheryl. And I just remember thinking, what the heck does that mean? I don't even know what that means. Be precious, be treasure you, what does that mean? I was really dense. But when I went on that walk to Emmaus, I came face to face with a holy God. And he changed me. He changed me. What can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of King Jesus. And he changed me. And I will forever be grateful for that weekend, for that moment when he reached down and plucked me from hell itself. And I remember, after I realized how precious my Savior was, I remember very quickly thereafter I realized that I had a treasure at home too. And I do treasure my wife. Do we treasure those closest to us? Are they precious to us? It's one thing, and it's important for us to be like Jesus and to take the time to let everyone be precious. But I want us to hear very clearly that it starts at home. It starts as though with those closest to you. Are they precious to you? We are called by Christ to feed His sheep because people are precious. People are precious to Him, and therefore people should be precious to us. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You for shedding Your blood for us. We thank You that Your love is not hollow, does not ring hollow like a clanging cymbal, but You have proven Your love for us by taking the nails for us. But Holy Spirit, we ask You to show us how to treat every person as precious in our lives. I ask You now, Holy Spirit, to convict us. I believe there's some this morning that don't even understand that they're precious to You. Just right now, through the power of Your Holy Spirit, I pray that You would reveal Your heart for each person in this room. What can wash away your sins? What can welcome you as a friend? Nothing but Your blood. Nothing but Your blood, King Jesus. Convict us, O God. Show us how You feel about us. It all begins there with a changed heart. So, Father, we're asking You to change it. Change our hearts. We pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to close. If you will stand as we close together, I will be up front. If you would like to pray or would like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior or talk to me about our church, I will be up front.
The cross, it testifies in grace, tells of the Father's heart to make a way for us, how boldly we approach. Earthly confidence, it's only by Your blood.
Let's sing that verse again. Your cross.
Your cross testifies in grace, tells of the Father's heart to make a way for us. Now boldly we approach. By Your blood, what can wash away? but your blood. Nothing but your blood, King Jesus.
You are precious. People are precious. Offer them Christ. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You lead us by step.